folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here.
Petra, as we have previously discussed, there are 7,500 product coaches on LinkedIn. And that doesn't count like executive coaches and leadership coaches and
OKR coaches.
OKR coaches. Let's break this down. Why are there so many types of coaches? What? Tell me more.
Happy to do so. Why am I talking about that? As I'm doing product leadership coaching and have been formerly doing product discovery coaching and IC-level product management coaching, I've done several coaching gigs in my past. So I thought about it a lot. So what are settings for coaching, and then what different types of coaches are out there for product people? So settings, and that is usually something people never wrap their head around. So that's why we're making this episode, right? So you could have an individual coaching setting where you have one-to-one conversations with your coach. You have several sessions booked and planned out. You have a coaching goal that you want to work towards. So that's basically what you do in an individual setup. This is only for you. That's kind of a luxury thing. But not everybody can afford this kind of luxury. So there are also group settings. And the group settings could be people that have a similar task. So for example, a product trio could have a product discovery coach that helps them to solve this task of becoming better, de-risking what we're actually planning to build, and all these kind of things, right? Or it could be a group of people with the same role. So it could be several product leaders from a big organization, and they want to become better in their product leadership routines or something like that. They could hire a coach for helping them in this group setting. And then there is a bit of a special setting for that one, and that is team coaching. Because I think there is a big difference if a large organization with, let's say, 250 product people sends 10 random product people to a group coaching setting, or if it is a team, a product trio, for example, they are a team as well. Or you could have a leadership team. So the CPO, the CEO, and the CMO of a company, they are a leadership team. They're working together on a daily basis. And coaching them is a slightly different thing than coaching a rather random group of people with the same role or job title, right? And then to give it a bit more complexity even, you could have company internal group coaching sessions, then everybody comes from the same corporate organization, or you can have public group coaching sessions where people come from random backgrounds and random organizations. I did those ones in the past, and that's really challenging to do because some people come from a B2B or B2C background, some are from big companies, some are from small startups. So if you enroll for such a coaching experience, then try to make sure that at least folks from similar size product organizations, similar product maturity level, similar product culture, ideally. Otherwise, it could be super broad and maybe not so helpful. I think that's the settings.
I like this because it's actually, you almost described my evolution as a coach. So I started.
You've been it all.
Yeah, I started as a product manager coach. So I coached individual product managers. One of my very first larger clients, I coached all of their product managers individually. And then very quickly, their head of design reached out and was like, well, why aren't you also working with my designers? And that was my first sort of inkling of like, maybe individual's not right. And then my next large company, they were even larger and there was no way I could coach them individually. So we did groups coaching for groups of product managers. So three or four product managers would be on a group coaching call. They were working on assumption testing. They would each bring an experiment that they were working on. We would talk through it. The other people could learn and observe from somebody else's example. And then we rotated through the group, and that worked really well. But again, in the back of my head was this idea of like, but where's design and where's engineering? And eventually I moved to team coaching, where I coached the product trio. And it was a lot of that was around, how do we break down these silos? How do we collaborate while we're adopting discovery habits? Yeah. And then I dabbled some leadership coaching and some like leadership plus teams coaching. That's not the best. It turns out when your boss is in the room, coaching isn't very effective. But yeah, I think this is a natural thing to explore, like what setting is appropriate when. And I think it kind of depends on what are they getting coaching for. So like, I think the individual, individual coaching was great when we're working on individual skills.
Yeah.
The team coaching was better when we're working on how does the team work together on this.
Developing a skill and and if you share the task and the concerns and you need to do it together, you hang in there together, then the team, and it works. That's basic. I think that's maybe my favorite type of coaching, if I have standing leadership teams that are then bringing me in as a coach, because there's so much momentum created by such a team, exposed to the same ideas and discussions and conversations, and we could unpack things together, and they could be more vulnerable in that setting than they may be without me in the room in their leadership meetings and all these kind of things, right? So there is really a beauty in team coaching, I'd say, but still the predominant thing that I'm doing is one-on-one coaching, and that's super helpful for the individual as well. Yeah.
Agreed. Okay, let's get into types of coaching. How do you break that down?
So settings was the one thing. And then types of coaching, I focus on product people in general. So we're not talking about the agile coaches, the HR coaching, the public speaking coaches. So there's this specialized coaches around us that we could still be interested to work with. But if we look at the product work in itself, then I think we start with the easy one that would be generic, product coaching on the individual product coach. So they help them to become better at the product management craft. And it really depends what kind, we will talk, and we might need to record another session episode on how to find the best coach for you. Because it's really, if it's just a generic product coach, then you really need to be precise in what is your goal, what do you want to learn, what do you want to get better at, because not every product coach can help you with all these kind of things. So for example, if you have a big discovery focus, then it might make sense to hire another type of coach, which would be a product discovery coach, right? Then that is something that you should go for. Then PM career coaches have their place in the landscape as well. I often get emails, and I'm not offering that at all. I'm not helping people to get from here to there. It's never something that I was interested in, and I don't have much experience in how to level up in a big organization and what are tactics around that and all these kind of things, all the political navigation that needs to happen. But there are product career coaches that are specializing in this in particular, to help people to land the next job or to kind of climb the career ladder, so to say. So that is a coach that you could hire. And then there are product leadership coach, which is not to confuse with general executive or leadership coach. So an executive or leadership coach would help you with more the product agnostic topics, where a product leadership coach, that's my take at least on it, would help you to balance these three things that product leadership folks usually have to balance. And this is, do I have the right people on the team, the hiring, the personal development of the folks at my team, promotions, bonus systems, all these kind of things. So that's the people aspect of it. Then it's the actual process. So are we building, what process are we using? Are we having a product operating model that works? Does everybody need to work along the same lines, or can we allow for more diversity here? So all these, the teams are building the ships. How can I, as a product leader, organize the shipyard around them and help support them in the best possible way? That's the process part. And then at some point, somebody has to think about the product or the portfolio of products, and where are we headed, and what is the strategy, and what tactics are we currently using, and are we still making sure that we we keep innovating. So how do I make sure that my product people are not just sitting there in their comfort zone building the next 20 backlog items, but we're not innovating and maybe competition is kind of moving along left and right. So that's other things that product leadership folks need to do. And the good product leadership coach would help you with that. And there still is, some of my folks work with a leadership coach and myself as a product leadership coach. That still could be a thing if your budget allows.
I think there's maybe one way to think about an executive coach versus a product leadership coach. Mm. We can pull from one of the ideas we talked about in our training versus coaching episode.
Yeah.
Which is this idea of like coaching as a skill involves things like asking powerful questions, helping you reflect, helping you see your blind spots.
Yes.
That may be what executive coach is helping with. There could be another level that an executive coach helps with, which is like issues that come up with managing people or your cross-executive team issues.
Oftentimes versus personal issues that arise from being in a leadership role. So time management, even all these kind of things.
Whereas the product leadership coach is going to be more product leadership skill focused.
Yes.
I need to develop a product vision for my organization and I'm getting stuck on these things. Or I'm running into these issues when I coach my teams around product things.
Or storytelling around the strategy that you have maybe already created. So oftentimes my product leads don't struggle with creating the strategy, but then that's kind of shelfware. So how do we make sure it's actively used and the teams are building upon it and really executing towards the strategy and all these kind of things. So that's conversations we're often having.
Okay, I want to dig into a little bit different topic related to this. And I want to ask you about it at the individual level, and then I'll ask you about it at the leadership level. So let's say that I'm an individual product manager or an individual designer, and I'm listening to this. It really sounds like such a luxury to have access to a coach. Is this even really a thing? How does it happen? Who pays for it? Do I pay for it out of my pocket? Do I pay for it out of my professional development budget? Do I ask my boss to pay for it?
Yeah. So if you haven't listened to the training versus coaching episode, maybe that's the time to do so. So just really briefly, it doesn't make sense to look at coaching if you haven't started your learning journey at all. So I always encourage people, first of all, you start with the free or cheap stuff. So podcast episodes, blog posts, books, not for free, I know, but they're rather cheap, right? Compared to any of the other things that we're talking about. Then you try to apply some of these things and you practice. You maybe need a bit more help. So you need a bit more structure to practice certain skills. And then a well-designed training. We talked about that. What makes a well-designed training? So go back to that episode. So that is maybe the next step in your learning, in your journey, so to say. And then if you're rather happy with the current status quo, you know how to do things, but then you experience certain challenges in your current environment, within your organization, where you need help to overcome these, or the challenges in your industry are super specific, in the location you have cultural differences that are hard to overcome or that the training was not helpful with, so then that might be a good sign to bring in a coach. So it is a bit of at the end of your learning journey. It's the cherry on the cake to some extent, and it is expensive. But there are other options. So mentoring programs are available and sometimes an option, because oftentimes you just need somebody who's a bit more ahead in the learning journey and could already help you if it's rather basic things that you're still struggling with and you need really more guidance and more, you need to talk things through sometimes, right? And you could do this with the mentor, rather within your company, that would be more up here, or outside of your company, go find them at your local product tank, at your local product meetup, wherever you can find them, ask people, there are so many Slack channels for product folks, right? Maybe find somebody who's willing to help you in a mentorship role. Or maybe there's an internal community of practice where you can find somebody like that. So that's another thing that I think you could be doing. And if all of that is done and you use all of this and you still think I need to supercharge my learning experience, I really need more help, then go see if you can find a coach. And then there are various solutions. So either you can pay for it yourself, but be warned, it's for most of the coaches, we don't do different pricing if you pay individual or company-wise, because we sell our time once. Coaching is not a scalable business anyways. So it's not that you have you have these one-on-one conversations, right? And that's why it's so expensive, because we cannot sell too many hours in a day or in a week. So be warned, it's expensive if you pay individually, but you often can convince your organization if you can tell them that you've done all of that, and that they will see some of the positive effect, right? If you invested in your user interviewing skills, people can tell that you invested in your user interviewing skills. You've been to the training, you applied it once or twice. They could see that the stuff that this team is building right now, that you're building with the team, is way better than it was a few months down the line. Then it oftentimes is not so hard to convince your company to at least compensate for some of it, or even pay for the entire stuff. And a really clever employee is negotiating it when they negotiate their salaries anyways, because sometimes it's harder to get a raise than to get a yes for coaching or more training.
Yeah, I love that. So I actually recorded a video with a friend of mine who teaches a class for first-time managers about how to be managers. And one of the things she recognized in teaching that class is that most people don't know that they have an individual professional development budget at a lot of companies.
Which is shocking.
That they can choose to spend however they want. Oftentimes with input from their boss, but for the most part, it's self-directed. So we did a video about how to ask for that budget, even if it's not a formal policy at your company. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
That's a good idea.
The way that I like to think about this is like, should I pay for this or should my company pay for it?
Your company should definitely pay for it.
I might have a learning goal that isn't related to my job, right? Like it's still tangentially related, then I'm probably paying for that. If it's related to my job, I want to make the case that I can create more value for the business if I get this. And then not especially right now when we're recording this, like the global economy is a little up and down. Not all companies have a ton of budget right now. And so like you might get a no and you might choose to individually pay for it. But I think for the most part, you want to exhaust your company paying for it first. Because it's going to help you deliver way more value to your company. And I think that's something they should be footing the bill for.
Yeah, but make sure you're we could do another episode on how to prepare for a coaching session maybe, because so often people come unprepared and not making the most out of the coaching sessions that they're having. So that is another thing, right? So if you get the okay for coaching, then really prepare, make the most out of it. I always recommend people to block twice the time that they spend with me in their calendars to just like prepare and follow up on the coaching sessions. So if we do 10 sessions, I recommend them to block another 20 hours. And that's minimum that the coaching can have the impact that they're hoping for it to have. So I think that is another important thing. So it's a big time investment on top of the budget that you need to allocate towards it.
Yeah, and I would argue don't pay for it if you're not going to invest in it, like invest that time. Yeah, it's really, I know for me when I was coaching, it was really frustrating to see people show up unprepared. They did nothing in the week in between. And it just feels like, oh, I'm here to babysit you. Like you're not doing the part, we're just going through the motions. And I actually see that when the company pays for it.
Yes.
And the company is telling the person to go through coaching. Yes. And I think this is a really important thing to highlight. The person has to want to go through coaching.
Yeah, it's always, if I get asked by big corporations to coach several of their people, I always say like, yeah, but we need to have an application form. Yeah. And they at least have to answer 3 questions, super simple questions. It's like, hi, who are you? What is your current role? What problem are you trying to solve for the users out there and for the companies? I want to learn a bit about the product they're working on, right? And then what are particular challenges that you're having right now that you think coaching could be helpful with?
Yeah, great.
So these are the 3 questions that I always want companies to ask, even if they pay for the individual coaching, because we find, so frankly, in my lead channel, funnel, out of 100 people that I ask for coaching, I kill 99 of these requests just by telling them the price and asking them the three questions, because so many people don't have the time. I think it's not that they're lazy. I don't believe in lazy people being lazy, but they don't have the time to reflect and fill out these three super simple questions. And if you work with with a coach, that will be just the beginning of the journey, right? There will be more questions down the line. So you will need to allocate way more time towards working with this coach.
Okay, I want to go back to the leadership piece and see if you see this trend. So I would argue the company should always pay for the leadership coaching, not the individual. But it's not what I see. What I see is that a lot of product leaders want to pay for it out of pocket. Some of it is because they don't want to communicate to their peers, their executive peers, that they feel like they need a coach. There's a little bit of vulnerability there. Some of it is because, like, maybe the CEO has an executive coach. And I find that executive coaching is usually less expensive than product leadership coaching. So then there's a little bit of this, like, not your experience. We'll dig into that. I feel like there's a little bit of this, like, I don't want to ask for a more expensive coach than my CEO has. Tell me what you see on that.
I think the good coaches are equally expensive, frankly speaking. But yeah, it sometimes is the case that CEO is a lesser expensive coach than what the product coach is actually asking for. So I'm working a lot with a Scandinavian company, and they don't have this cultural issue of, if I need help, I ask for help. So that's just like, that's the natural tendency. So there's no shame in having a coach. In some of the German, Swiss, Austrian companies I was working with, that is more of a problem, for example. So I think there is a cultural nuance to it, at least. So if it is a sign of strength to have a coach, so is a coach coaching you on the things that you're already good at and you've just become even stronger? A lot of people that are athletes have no problem at all in hiring a coach because that's what they know from their tennis coach or from their football coach or from whatever coach they're working with, their agility coach or their running coach or these kind of things, right? So they have experience in this really specialized types of coaching and how far it can or how much it can help them to progress. I can't say that I'm not seeing these cases, but I would not call it a big trend, at least not from what I'm seeing over here. But I agree with you that the company should always pay for the leadership coaching. And so my take is, if you get promoted into a leadership position, the company has to, first of all, grant you the trust that you will be doing this in the best possible way. But they have to give you a bit of training, and they have to maybe even give you a bit of a coaching experience on top of it, because there's so much more it depends in leadership roles than it is on the IC. Yeah. And we know in product, there's already so much it depends. And on leadership level, it's 10 times more it depends situations.
One of the things I love about Marty Kagan being so visible about product coaches, types of product coaches, helping build visibility for product coaches, is it really removes the stigma, right? It's becoming normalized to work with a product coach, which I think overall is a really good thing. Yeah. I think
only if people don't confuse it with training, but we talked about that.
As long as people don't confuse it with training. All right. I think we've probably exhausted this. I think we were pretty thorough.
Yes. Let's wrap it up.
All right. Thanks, Petra.
Thanks, Teresa.